We are halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you are with us. I want to thank Ian for sitting in the last couple of days. I went to Portland for my granddaughter's birthday party. Her birthday is Halloween Day, but the party was on Sunday. So really a quick trip. Left Friday after the show, and I just got back. And to go that far, come back, yeah, because you can't get there with a nonstop flight. Not until next year, but in 2025, Alaska Airlines is going to have nonstop flights between New Orleans and Portland. And, man, that is going to change my life dramatically because you have to always stop. And anyway, it's not the easiest place to get to, but it's going to all change next year. But it's great to be back. Great to be back with you. The election is less than a week away. And, you know, I can't believe how sensitive everybody is. You know, now the buzz is garbage. And like, people are offended by this, and I understand why Puerto Ricans are offended, but Joe Biden said something, and we've got his comment. I know you've heard the comment, but we'll talk about the garbage controversy. And I guess it's appropriate when you consider the tone and the demeanor, the ambiance of the campaign of 2024. It's pretty obvious that garbage is a good way to describe the whole thing. But really, on both sides, people are just so sensitive over insignificant stuff. So we're going to get into that. So there's really a lot to get to. You've heard the news about Taylor Swift. You know, she just brought in so much goodwill and so much good money into the city of New Orleans. And she left by making a big donation to Second Harvest. And she's really quite a phenomenon. Quite a phenomenon. And I know if you went and you went there with your kids, or, you know, maybe your kids were an excuse because you really wanted to go, I'm sure you enjoyed it. I wasn't there. I was in Portland over the weekend. But I have not heard anybody say anything negative about a Taylor Swift concert. People just absolutely love it. And she, and to her credit, she delivers. And there's a lot of expectations. And I would think that the biggest challenge would be for young people who are so used to seeing something on their phones or on TV or on a radio or a TV computer monitor. I would think that young people who are used to all those close-ups of Taylor Swift, I would think that it would have been a challenge for them to see her so small on the stage, because not everybody had front row seats. So a lot of people in the Caesars Superdome were far away from Taylor Swift. But I know they had a lot of close-up videos. And I've talked about that Duran Duran concert that I went to in Baton Rouge in 84. And I've talked to Simon Le Bon about it. I've talked to John Taylor about it. They were the first group that I ever saw use video screens. And it was to appease a young generation that was used to all of the close-ups from MTV. So while we don't have MTV, you watch Taylor Swift videos wherever you watch that, and you're going to see close-ups of her. So, you know, people who would be up in the terrace level at the Taylor Swift concert, I mean, that wasn't going to be thrilling for them to see her, this little figure down on the stage. But it's those big videos that really bring her close up to everybody. And I don't know about you, and I'm guilty of this, and I know I'm doing it at the time. But sometimes I find myself in concerts, even if I've got good seats, sometimes I find myself at concerts watching the video more than I'm watching the stage. I'm going, stop watching the video, watch the stage. But, you know, the videos are real close up, and it's entertaining and compelling to watch that. But I realize, well, wait a minute. I mean, I'm paying this money to be here to watch somebody on TV. No, I should be watching the stage. So even though they have big video screens, watch the stage when you can. All right, let's see. I mean, where do we even start? You know, we've got to get into politics. I'm going to do the best I can, you know, to keep it fun, to keep it a little on the light side, because some of this stuff, by its very nature, is sort of comic. I mean, it almost can't be taken seriously. And I have some questions about Donald Trump's campaign, and we'll talk about that. Also, of course, tomorrow's Halloween, and you've heard the forecast, 40% chance of rain. So I'm not sure if that's what Peyton Malone said in the forecast, but I saw this last night, 40% chance of rain tomorrow. But it seems like with this warm weather and the weather that we're experiencing right now, it seems like it is more prone to daytime showers the nighttime shower. So maybe we'll check in with that a little bit later this afternoon. But if you're seeing different color pumpkins for Halloween, blue, teal, and purple pumpkins, it's not just about variety. These different colors mean something. So now we're adding new meaning to Halloween. And you know, when I first started reading this article, I kind of scoffed at it and thought, nah, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, got the blue means this and teal means this and purple means this. But you know, it really in theory, it's kind of a good idea for some kids. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, some new ads for Kamala Harris are claiming that the Republicans want to ban pornography nationwide. And this is wording that comes from Project 2025 and, you know, controversy about that as well. I saw this last night on CNN. Actually, it was Monday night on CNN. There was a guest, a Republican commentator, who got so ugly and made such a disgusting comment in terms of hate, they kicked him off the show. Like during a break, they kicked him off. And he's now banned from the network. And, you know, first of all, the guy was a big mouth. And he was a verbal bully. And he didn't want anybody else to talk. And when they started to talk, he started to talk over them. And some of our listeners do that when they call in to this show. But, you know, I'm watching this and I'm thinking, man, this is like unacceptable. And, you know, they agreed. So he's banned. We'll have that story for you a little bit later. You know, really, can you explain this to me? I know it's just a couple of people, but it's a mentality that is more widespread than maybe some would have us believe. An 18-year-old was arrested yesterday, caught with an 18-inch machete, trying to intimidate two women at a Florida polling station. You're going to go to the polling station and you're going to try to piss people off and intimidate people, and you've got an 18-inch machete in your hand. Apparently, there were like seven other teenagers involved in this, but there was only one who was arrested. Only one had the machete. The others, I think it was like verbal stuff. But I mean, really, is that what you have to do? You have to go down to a polling place where people are voting early, and you got to intimidate them with a machete? You know, let's not focus on the dumber people who are supporting Donald Trump. You know, there are smart people supporting Donald Trump too. But this needs to be denounced by everybody who's supporting Donald Trump. And I know that there are people who kind of agree with that, which is really sad to me. One day after demanding that Americans stop being offended by everything, J.D. Vance has a crashdown over Biden's comment about garbage. Great hypocrisy there we've got to talk about. CNN's polling guru, Harry Enten, says that Kamala Harris, that her support in the polls might be underestimated. In 2016, Donald Trump's polling numbers were underestimated. You know, they had Hillary winning the election, and Donald Trump won the election. So we will get into that. Our governor, Jeff Landry, is on an economic development trip to South Korea. Now, you know, I disagree with a lot of things that Jeff Landry says. Well, my first question is, did he fly first class? And is that against the rules for the state? And if he flew first class, like Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, he says he flies first class, but he pays the difference. So let's hope Jeff Landry didn't do what Mayor Cantrell did. And that is try to take advantage of the situation when it's against the rules. But I would assume that Jeff Landry is going to come back and tell us what his trip meant. You see, Cantrell goes on these overseas trips representing the city of New Orleans. And she says she needs to go on these trips because she's doing her job as our mayor. Well, why doesn't she come back and tell us how the trips benefit us? She doesn't do that, does she? No, she doesn't. She doesn't tell us how the trips benefit us. So it leaves the impression, Mayor, that you're just going to have a good time. That's the impression we get. And it's not our fault. Also, you have heard in our news, early voting turnout sets a record in Louisiana. And that's really good. And I think it ended up with more Republicans voting than Democrats. Well, more Republicans in the states than Democrats, although it's kind of close. But again, you know, you never ever know who somebody's voting for. I mean, you could be a registered Republican voting early and vote for Harris. You could be a Democrat and you could be voting for Trump because you don't like Harris. So, you know, I don't think that really, I don't think that tells us anything at all. So we've got a lot to get to this afternoon. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Coleman is our studio producer today. Ian is off. Coleman, good afternoon.
Scoot, I have to say this is going to be an interesting week because Let me tell you why. When you came in the studio, I know you just took your break. You came back from Portland. You came in here lively. You're energetic. You know, you have a spark. But now it's crunch time for this political season. The election's coming up. I want to see if it's going to take a toll on you. Like, maybe by Friday or Monday, you're going to come in the studio like, oh, here we go. Like, you came in here tap dancing. Yeah. But I know, but we got this election coming up. So I want to see if it's going to take a toll on you physically. Like, yeah. If it's going to be noticeable.
You know, a couple of calls from the wrong people. And, I might feel like I just went through a wood chipper. So, look, I'm always excited about doing the show, but you know, this time of year, not just this time of year, but this particular election cycle of 2024 has been absolutely overwhelming, and it's been insane. And I mean, I think that's just kind of a calm word to use. It's just amazing. And then what about Trump's rally? What about the racist comments? What about that stupid comedian? Whoever heard of that guy? I mean, he didn't do himself any good in terms of promoting himself as a comedian. And to say what he said about Puerto Rico and Puerto Rico people who live in America, Puerto Ricans who live here, that's just stupid. And look, don't think for one minute that Trump and his people don't know everybody who's on that stage. Donald Trump, in my opinion, allowed him to say that because Donald Trump didn't want to be credited with saying it, but Donald Trump wanted it to be out there. They're not going to just let anybody speak. They control that. And I guarantee you, they were not surprised that happened. So here's a question that I have. The Trump rally was so incredibly bizarre, it begs a question to be answered. Do you think Donald Trump really wants to win? Or he makes money if he loses and contests the election. He stays in the spotlight if he contests the election. And again, he makes money because he'll fight it. And he's got money, but he'll ask for the suckers out there, the gullible people, to send him money. And they will send him money. Donald Trump will make more money if he loses than if he wins. And remember, he loves confrontation. And if he loses, there will be confrontation. And by the way, don't you find it interesting that he's not spending a lot of money on ads? Kamala Harris is outspending him tremendously. Is he saving the campaign money for himself? And if he loses, he'll have money. And he'll even get people to send him millions and millions and millions of dollars. So does Donald Trump really want to win? All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Tomorrow is Halloween. It's Wednesday afternoon, October 30th. Tomorrow is Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon. Ian's off, so Coleman and I will take care of the text messages. Here's one that says, Donald Trump definitely wants to win. It's the only way he stays out of jail. And also pay attention to the threats he makes towards the Obama's revenge written all over it. You know, I'm concerned about Trump talking about the enemy from within, and he continues to talk about that. And I think that there are true enemies within our country, but I don't think it's fair. And I wrote a blog about this. It got a lot of attention. I don't think it's fair to call other Americans or to call the other political side the enemy within. That reeks of fascism. And some people are so concerned that Kamala Harris is fascist. Then there are people who are saying Donald Trump is fascist. And some people who work with him say that he has a fascist mentality. And if you don't know the definition of the word, look it up. We talked about that last week. Here is a text. So, Scoot, what is your opinion of Ian's talk yesterday about Fox News and the Republicans? I wasn't listening. I don't know. Here is a comment that says, "Wow, we don't always agree, but anyone who likes Todd Rundgren is okay. In my book, Todd Rundgren also produced about 60 albums from other artists. I'm not totally sure where that comes from, but yeah, I have a lot of respect for Todd Rundgren, and you're right. Todd Rundgren had a couple of hits. Hello, It's Me was one of the big ones. A great song, but I Saw the Light was another big hit, but Todd Rundgren was more known as in the music world, more known as a producer than an artist. All right, the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. From Metairie, Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey.
First of all, I just got through watching Donald Trump at the North Carolina rally, ranting like a crazy man. These are some of the things he said. By the way, he's the king of projectionism. Whatever bad faults he has, he always calls the other person. He called Kamala. He said, she's dumb. She has a low IQ. Guess who's dumb, Donald? You. You couldn't get into law school even if your sister took the test. That's how dumb you are. And when you wanted to testify in front of Mr. Mueller, your lawyer, Ty Cobb, a brilliant lawyer, said, Donald, if you testify, you'll be in an orange jumpsuit within 2 weeks. That's how smart he is. And also, he thought he was smarter than the doctors, too. They were dumb. Fauci was dumb and all the doctors. That's why he led the world in most COVID deaths, the United States. 300,000 he was implicit in deaths of. And I'm still shocked on how my brother and sister Christians, after studying history, could possibly go for Adolf Hitler. Those were well-meaning Germans. But guess what? 62 million went for him. They were goose-stepping. They were killing millions of people and poor Jews. And guess what? They followed him. It's so easy. It's being repeated today. If you can't see that, you're Mr. Magoo.
All right, Michael, I'm glad you had a chance to call. I don't know why Trump continues to say that Kamala Harris is stupid or why she has a low IQ. I mean, he doesn't know. But does Donald Trump have a low IQ? I mean, Donald Trump's IQ might not be very high. I mean, it's not like he's a rags from riches story. I mean, his daddy set him up. He set up his kids. Which one of them has actually worked? I guess the old man actually worked, did the work, but Trump was given stuff. So I don't know. What indication do we have that he's smart? He owned casinos that went out of business. Now, vote for him if you want, but again, I'm just making a point. We don't know what Donald Trump's IQ is, and he always goes for the lowest common denominator. And his largest, this is a fact, not my opinion, but his largest group of followers are white males without a college education. Now, you don't have to have a college education to be smart, but this is an interesting statistic. I mean, you can be brilliant without a college education. But there are a lot of people out there who, just made it through high school, and a lot of Americans are pretty stupid. So, again, I don't know where Donald Trump gets the opinion that there's proof that he has a high IQ. From Slidell, John, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, you said you can guarantee us that Donald Trump knew about that idiot comedian that made the comment about Puerto Rico. Well, I'd like to know how you can guarantee that, but more importantly is next day the President of the United States said any Trump followers, including me, are garbage.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about it. It's one thing for an idiot comedian to say that, it's another thing for the President of the United States. Same thing with the guy before you. Oh,
yeah.
I know this, I know that. Nobody knows. I mean, why do you keep saying that, Trump people are the ones who support violence, blah, blah, blah. Look, it's on both sides. I don't care if you don't like the guy. That's fine. That's your business. Don't vote for him. Vote for Harris. That's your business. I don't care.
Well, listen.
To be fair and balanced here.
John, we don't have to be fair and balanced. That's just it. That's what you don't understand. We don't have to be fair and balanced. I mean, stop that. You listen to conservative radio, conservative social media, conservative Fox News or Newsmax or whatever, you think they're fair and balanced? No, So why do I have to be fair and balanced? I don't have to be. This is America, damn it. And I set up some rules. I guess you didn't read them, but I set up rules for calling the show. And one of the rules is, you know, don't expect us to be fair and balanced. And don't even bring that up on the show because, you know, it's okay if conservatives are one way, but I have to be fair and balanced. No, this is a talk show. Understand what a talk show is. We talk. And we don't have to be fair and balanced. I'm trying to think of what you were saying. You were talking about, why do I keep saying?
He was asking, how do you know that Trump knew what that comedian was going to say at the Trump rally?
Well, I just have this sense. This is my opinion, John. It's my opinion that Donald Trump knew, because they're not going to just let anybody on that stage. The comedian didn't say it ad lib. He was reading it. He had a piece of paper in front of him. He was reading it. And if you think they just let anybody on stage to say whatever they want, you're the crazy one. It doesn't happen. And if you want to prove me wrong, then find the proof and call the show and prove me wrong. But in my opinion, based on what I know about politics and that sort of thing, which might be more than you, I don't know, they don't let anybody on the stage. And I think Donald Trump, he didn't denounce it when he came on to speak. And when you don't denounce it, you essentially embrace it. Now, I agree the president should not have said what he said. And we're going to do the quote coming up. That was stupid of him. But it was misinterpreted. I mean, I don't think he meant everybody. And this is where the snowflake label comes in. Well, you know, I use this example a lot. If I talk about an 18-wheeler driver driving 75 miles an hour on the I-10 through Metairie, if you're a truck driver, don't call me and tell me I'm bashing truckers. I'm not. Don't take it personally. I'm bashing those truck drivers, 18-wheelers, who are going 70, 75 on the interstate through Metairie. Why is it that if anybody feels like they're linked to a group, they have to defend the whole group? If you listen to this show, you know I don't defend talk show hosts. If somebody does something stupid, I'll call them out. If you say something about a talk show host, I don't defend all talk show hosts. Because some of them are not very good. Some of them are really actually bad. But they're on the air. Some of them get a following. Some of them on the air don't have much of a following at all. So anyway, don't take it personally. If you're a Republican and Joe Biden says, well, the rest of they're all garbage. But this is what, you know, this is what I was talking about at the very opening of the show. Why are we so sensitive? You don't have to be that. You don't have to take it personally. If you know that you're not a piece of garbage, then okay. If you're a piece of garbage, you know it. Well, maybe not. I mean, some people are garbage, and maybe they don't even know it. But you know, if you're not garbage, then don't take that personally. When Hillary Clinton said it in 2015-16 about Trump supporters deplorable, she was wrong to say that. I called her out on the air for saying that. But if you're not a deplorable, don't take it personally. But everybody's so sensitive now. Oh, he means me. Oh, he's calling me garbage. So what? If you've got a comment, the Okunor Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. I tell you what's really scary in this country. The number of Americans who no longer understand the basic concept of freedom of speech. I'm sorry, you don't get it. You don't understand it. Freedom of speech is not the freedom to say only what you agree with. Freedom of speech means being able to speak freely. All right, Wednesday afternoon. It's Halloween Eve. I'm Scoot on the air. We've got a lot of calls and a lot of texts to get to, and we'll continue that when we come back on WWL. Oh, I know this past weekend in the French Quarter and French from the Maroney should have been just insane. And some of you might have been in that. I was in Portland over the weekend, so I missed that. But I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on a Wednesday afternoon. A lot of calls to get to. Also, more of your texts coming up. Here's a quick one. It says, Biden's comment, snowflakes should take J.D. Vance's advice. When he said everyone needs to lighten up and stop being so serious about everything that's said. Yes. And then right after J.D. Vance said that, he got all upset and pissed off and became a snowflake over the garbage comment from Joe Biden. So great hypocrisy there. Let's go to David and Kenner. David, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, quick comment, okay? Yeah. And one of your listeners already said it. But the truth of the matter is Donald Trump really wants to win and not doing this to make money. His legal issues are more important to him than anything.
Yeah.
So he really wants to win so he can stay out of jail. It's very simple.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate point, Dan. David, I'm glad you brought that up. And because I'm wondering, because of that rally, because of the things that he has said and done, I wonder if he really wants to win. But I mean, I think there's an argument that he wants to stay out of jail. But I don't know if he's going to go to jail if he loses. I don't expect him to, but I guess there's a possibility. But I think about Donald Trump and the attention that he would get if he loses and the money that he would make. And why isn't he spending more on ads? I don't see ads that are trying to convince people beyond the base of his voters, his followers, to vote for him. And Kamala Harris, this is a tight race. She's spending a lot more than Donald Trump. It seems like he's saving the money. For what? And then if he loses, people are going to send him millions. Judy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Judy in Covington. I just wanted I hope this was asked already. I apologize. But I am wondering, why do they have a big rally at Madison Square Garden in New York when everyone there hates him? Everyone knows it. He has 34 felony accounts awaiting sentencing in New York. Why would he have it there? And where do all those people come from? They're not New Yorkers.
Yeah, it's not easy to, for those who don't know, it's not easy to drive into Manhattan. You think we've got parking problems here? Try finding a parking place in Manhattan.
Right, and that's what I'm asking. Where do these people come from?
You know, I don't know. I think that's a really astute observation. New York is a blue state anyway, I believe. And so why is he in New York? I think he wanted the publicity that goes around being at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he had the Proud Boy colors on. And he wanted to duplicate Hitler's rally.
Well, you know, I hope not. I don't know for sure. But Judy, you bring up a really good point. And, you know, listen to the callers that we get on this show. You know, this show is an alternative to the countless conservative-themed talk shows and social media shows, YouTube channels, and the Fox News channel and all the others. We're an alternative to that. We don't do exactly what they do. And so listen to the people who feel comfortable calling up and expressing their opinions. And I'm not sure they would feel as comfortable on other shows. From Metairie, Greg, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Welcome back, man.
Hey.
I was kind of hoping you would have been in town this weekend because I went Saturday night. I flew my ex-wife and my daughter in from L.A. Thursday. And so
how was it? Tell me about it.
Let me tell you how magical it was. My girlfriend lives on Antonine and Constance, just off Magazine, so that was our headquarters, you know, for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Magazine Street was alive. A lot of the boutiques had big, big friendship bracelets hanging everywhere. Let's see. The Taylor Swift concert itself, I've been to a lot of shows at the Superdome growing up here. You remember all those Days of Rock and Roll and all those Rolling Stones shows, huh?
Yeah.
And as big as those were, this was even bigger.
Did you go?
If you can imagine. Yeah, I went Saturday night.
Tell me about the concert.
It was magical. That girl works hard. She was wonderful. And everybody was singing along, and I don't even know all the words to the songs, but I learned them real quick. You know, it's like, I'm not really a Swiftie, but the most amazing thing is, and my girlfriend's used to this, was all the grandmothers and the moms who are, you know, closer to my age. And how fantastic they were all dressed up. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Scoot. If you like girls, you should have been in the Superdome.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. And then on Sunday, we went down to La Petite Grocery to have brunch. And it was just packed. Magazine Street. I mean, We did not go to the Quarter. We didn't go to Frenchman Street, and I kind of wanted it that way. Going to the concert was so easy because we just took the Magazine Street bus, got up at Poydras, and walked up.
Oh, great!
You know.
Gregory,
so
I appreciate that review of the show. I knew it was going to be awesome. I haven't heard anybody go to a Taylor Swift show anywhere and say anything negative about it. So apparently she's just very, very phenomenal. I think it's really cool that you have a situation where you can bring in your ex-wife and your daughter and your girlfriends there. That's cool.
We're still close friends, Scoot.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, we're extremely close and... best friends, almost.
Well, maybe your ex-wife is grateful to your girlfriend because she's with you and not your ex-wife.
Yeah. Oh, they got along charmingly. But, I wanted to mention something. I was listening to Newell earlier about Todd Rundgren.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets the respect he deserves. And what you said about over 60 albums he's produced, it was a lot. And he was especially close to Brian Eno, and they collaborated a lot. He produced a couple of Rolling Stones records, and he did. I think he produced all of the Cars records back in the day, back in the 80s. I could go on and on and on.
I had
the pleasure of meeting him. I met Todd Rundgren at Tipitina's in 1993.
Wow.
Remember that band from Canada called the Crash Test Dummies?
Yeah, I do.
He was there, and he was just so nice. He's a big, tall guy. He's kind of a geeky guy like me. You know?
Very,
like,
very lean. He's very lean, isn't he?
Yeah, very lean.
Yeah.
Very light, yeah, serpentine. But anyway, I don't think Todd Rundgren gets enough credit for what he's done for the music. Well, a couple of years ago, he finally got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I thought was well-deserved.
Yeah, he's a big, big producer, worked with a lot of great people. Gregory, I appreciate the call. If you're on hold, hang on. We've got a lot to get to and a lot of calls and a lot of text messages, and we'll do the best we can. Coleman's with me this afternoon. He's going to help me with some of the text messages. And at some point, I am going to talk about the Saints. I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but... that was such a display of total ineptness on every freaking level that it's now to the point where the Saints don't have a choice. They have to do something. And this game against the Panthers is a must win. You know, Bobby said, the glass isn't half empty, half full. The glass is empty. And he said, if the Saints don't beat the Panthers, the Saints have hit rock bottom. So the Saints have been in different situations. They've been able to get away with it. They have to do something now, or they're going to hear from fans in terms of not going to games. And that's what they want to do. They want to fill the seats in the dome. And if the Saints start playing to the point where they're not filling the seats, that's when it starts to hurt the upper echelon of Saints ownership and management. All right, I'm Scoot. We're going to dedicate this song to those who are just very easily offended by garbage or whatever. This song is for you. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar today, we wish happy birthday to Grace Slick of Jefferson Airplane. Gracie is 84 years old today. And, man, I had the pleasure of meeting her and just sitting there and having a conversation with Grace Slick. 85? No, I've got 84. Maybe it's 85. All right, I'll check the math here. Maybe she's 85. Anyway, she's older than me. Not many people are, but Grace Slick is. Anyway, just, you know, meeting her and talking to her was just like talking to rock history. It was just amazing. All right, we've got a lot to get to. Joe Rogan is not going to have Kamala Harris on, but he had Trump on. Is that fair? I'm Scoot on the Air. We've got a lot to get to. And hang on, we'll be back to your calls here in just a moment on WWL. All right, enough about this song from Melania Trump. I'm Scoot on the Air. All right, Wednesday afternoon. Hey, I'm just joking, okay? What in the hell happened to the Saints? Were they trying? It's to the point where it's just downright sad. And I guarantee you, changes are coming. Now, maybe the Saints won't want to change. because they want me to be wrong. But some of the things that I've talked about the last 2 years are coming to a head. You'll see, and we'll talk about it when it happens. But it's going to happen. Not going to say any more, but it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because it is the source of the problem. It's one of the lowest common denominators of the problem. But it's going to be taken care of. You'll see. All right. It's Halloween Eve. Tomorrow on the show, I love talking about this every year. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about the needles and the razor blades and apples and the poison and candy and all of that stuff. Do you know that all of that was based on an urban myth? The media took a couple of incidents and blew things out of proportion. Imagine the media doing something wrong. The media turned that into an urban myth. Do you know that that never happened in reality? And I remember being on the air in the mid-80s and on B97, and I remember actually promoting that. I don't know, I was also on Q93. So it was one of those years, right before, I don't know, in the early to mid-80s. I remember talking about you can go to East Jefferson Hospital and you can get your candy x-rayed. And I was promoting this on the air like, this is a real problem. You know, you need to get your kids candy x-rayed. There's nothing wrong with it. Radiation, don't worry about any of that. And you can get it x-rayed. And East Jefferson Hospital is going to do it free. All of that fear was based on a myth. It never really happened. So I can't wait to talk about that. So, you know, buying into things that you hear in the media that turn into some kind of a frenzy is not new. But it's really kind of amazing to go back. I'll write a blog about this, and we'll talk about it on the show tomorrow. So we'll have a lot of fun since tomorrow is Halloween. All right, a lot of politics to get to. Joe Rogan had Donald Trump on for 3 hours. And one of the comments, I didn't hear it, but one of the comments that I heard was that the interview humanized Donald Trump. And I mentioned recently that I had seen an interview with Donald Trump on the podcast YouTube channel of comedian Theo Von, who, by the way, is from Covington. Very successful. And Theo interviewed Donald Trump. And I have never seen that side of Donald Trump. It was a great interview. He wasn't bombastic. He wasn't spewing what he usually spews. I saw a different side of him. And so apparently that's what happened with Joe Rogan as well. So there is another side to Donald Trump that he doesn't let many of us see. If Donald Trump would let that side of him out, instead of all this machismo, bravado, BS, he would be leading in the polls, and the election would probably be a landslide. I don't know why he can't let that out. Or maybe there are people close to him, like Stephen Miller, who won't let it out because they're hardcore, and they're directing him in a hardcore direction. So, I mean, Donald Trump would be far, far ahead. I think we'd be expecting a landslide for Donald Trump if he would let that side out, but he can't do it. But there is that side to Donald Trump. And I enjoyed the interview with Theo Von. And again, I saw a different side of Donald Trump, and apparently that's what happened with Joe Rogan. But here's an interesting question. And there are a lot of rumors out there. All I can do is give you the credible information I have. You can believe what you want to believe. But Joe Rogan interviewed Donald Trump, and Kamala Harris wanted to come on, and he refused to let her on. Now, there's a rumor out there, and I call it a rumor because it contradicts my credible source. But again, you believe what you want to believe. She declined. She didn't want to go on. And maybe at one point she declined. I don't know. But I know that in the end, she wanted to go on and he wouldn't have her on. Now, does Joe Rogan have a responsibility to have Kamala Harris on if he had Donald Trump on? There was a time in our nation's history, in the history of the media, when Joe Rogan would have had to have Kamala Harris on. But I think the fairness doctrine fell apart under Ronald Reagan, and that's what led to Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, that's what led to this whole idea that the media can be biased. And one day on the show, maybe I should talk about the history of the Fairness Doctrine. Because if you're, you know, millennial, Zoomer, maybe an Xer, you're not familiar with that. But it was a very significant change in the media in this country. And this is what gave birth to the media that we have today that is so opinionated. Like it or not, that's the reality. But the Fairness Doctrine was dropped. It was a doctrine that required the media give equal time to the other candidates. Well, I think that fell apart under, that was dismissed under Ronald Reagan. And since then, this is what we have. That led to Rush Limbaugh. That led to, again, biased, opinionated talk radio. Does Joe Rogan have a responsibility to have her on? No, he doesn't. If he doesn't want to have her on, he doesn't have to have her on. If Joe Rogan wants to use his show to promote Donald Trump, he has every right to do that. If you want to join us with your comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Now, Joe Rogan, I'm sure, has a lot of viewers, a lot of listeners to his podcast, because he has the number one podcast, or number one YouTube channel, or whatever, in the country. And there are going to be a lot of people who are voting for Kamala Harris. They may choose to judge him based on his unwillingness to have Kamala Harris on. That would be a negative thing for him. But Joe Rogan has every right to just have Donald Trump on and not Kamala Harris. All right, we're going to go to Coleman. You want to do a couple of texts? Ian's off today. Coleman is our studio producer, and he's helping me out with some of the texts today. So let's fire away at a few.
Yeah, this one says, the closer we get to election day, the more unhinged the show and the callers become, but I'm loving it.
Well, I am too, because you know what? Let's relish and embrace the entertainment value of all of this. Because, again, I remind you, for those of you who are younger, I mean, I don't think it's going to always be this way, but it didn't used to be this way. It wasn't always this hateful. It wasn't always like this. You know, you didn't hear things about, you know, the size of somebody's penis. You didn't hear things about, you know, porn stars going to bed, wife pregnant, you're banging somebody. You didn't hear that kind of stuff. So, you know, let's embrace the excitement. You don't hear about, like, you know, Puerto Rico being called an island of garbage, you know, floating in the ocean. So, you know, don't expect it to always be this exciting.
So, Scoot, you mentioned earlier that you saw a humanized version of Donald Trump, and I think Jeff Bezos kind of alluded to that it seems like podcasters and memers are doing a better job at presenting who politicians really are than the legacy media, you know, and I think that's why he said, you know, we have to pull back from endorsing the candidate. But it does seem like, you know, politicians are getting more, you know, introduced to the general public by podcasters and just random people who aren't in the legacy media. Do you see that trend?
Yeah, I mean, I see that, but I still leave it up to the politician to show who they want to show. And they let that, Donald Trump lets that person out in a couple of these intimate interviews. He could let that person out at a rally, but he doesn't. And Donald Trump cannot win with, if everybody at that rally is voting for him, if everybody at every rally that Donald Trump has votes for him, that's not enough to get him elected. So, when Donald Trump does a rally, it's the sound bites that the networks pick up on. That's what sells him to people outside of his base. If Donald Trump doesn't win over the rhinos, who are highly criticized by Trump and MAGA people, if he doesn't win over the rhinos and the independents, he's not going to win. So to win, he has to win those people over. Is he doing that? We don't know. The polls show everything is really close.
So a lot of people are pretty much sending in the same text that says the reason Rogan didn't have Kamala on because Rogan wanted Kamala to do all 3 hours, but she wanted to do only 1 hour. And that was where the discrepancy lies.
Okay, maybe so. I'll have to dig a little deeper. I got this. I've got this story from a credible source, so I'll look into that. I'll see. What I just have is that he ultimately refused to have her on. But I will look into that.
Okay, on a latter note, this text says, kudos to the people of New Orleans for such a wonderful celebration of Eric Paulson's life with the second line yesterday. New Orleans, you did good.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I was in Portland when I heard the news, and I was just stunned. I was going to talk about Eric in the next hour, but I was stunned because Eric Paulson announced that he was taking some time off to deal with his cancer. And I didn't know he had cancer. I think that was pretty much a secret. And boom, he's passed away. It was shocking. And it is a reminder that life is fleeting. And, you know, be careful who you hate. Be careful who you express hate to. Because you could be really hating somebody who ends up passing away. And there could be some guilt there. So just be careful who you hate. But Eric Paulson was loved by so many. He started off doing one of the hosts of an afternoon show called PM Magazine. And then he ended up being an anchor on Channel 4. But, you know, I've made fun of Eric a lot on the show. He did have a side of him that was a little bit, aggravating, I guess, at times. But, you know, I've always had a lot of fun having fun with Eric Paulson. But, you know, he was in the crew of Bad Hatters and enjoyed being with him in those situations. And, you know, Eric and I were not friends, but I would call him a media acquaintance. And I knew him and had talked to him many, many times. And, you know, as soon as I heard that, my thoughts and prayers were with him and his family. And I hope that he was in a comfortable spot at this point. All right, we're going to get to a break. If you're on hold, stay with us. We've got some more calls and more of your text to get to. If you want to join us this afternoon, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I want to remind you about the garbage comment that President Biden made. He should not have made the comment, but he did. But my God, you know, weren't you taught as a kid that words can't hurt you? The way people are reacting to this, you would think that people are dying. And then what about the mentality of these teenagers, one of them 18 years old with an 18-inch machete, going to a polling place in Florida to intimidate women who are voting early? I mean, what is that about? Don't we have the freedom to vote for who we want to vote for? I mean, I don't recognize this country as the country that it used to be. And that's not my fault. I'm tired of people trying to change this country for the worse. And it's happening. I mean, this is a great effing country. And I'm tired of hearing that we're garbage. We're the garbage can. Trump said something about we're the garbage can of the world. No, we're not. You know, I just flew across the country. Flew to Portland and back. And you know, one stop in Salt Lake City, going there, a stop in L.A., coming back. I saw a lot of the country. I saw a lot of people. We're a great country. People with the freedom to travel and go where they want to go. Families traveling. Mothers and fathers with their kids traveling. This is a great country. And I'm tired during this campaign of hearing what a piece of trash we are. And that we're, you know, and that because of Biden and Harris, you know, we're a bad country. We're trash now. We're garbage. And so the strategy is to make it seem like we're trash and garbage as a way of making it seem like you got to vote for Trump because otherwise we're trash. I don't buy that. Vote for Trump if you want to vote for Trump. But don't buy into this idea that we are trash. I mean, you should be a better American than that than to buy into that. Sure, we got problems, and sure, there's inflation. There's a lot of other stuff going on, and not everything is perfect. But where else you want to be? If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. We're not trash. We're a great country. But think about the degrading of America that has taken place during this campaign cycle. I reject it. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. This is the nightmare before Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us this afternoon. CNN polling guru Harry Enten says that he has this sense that the polls might be underestimating Kamala Harris, meaning that even though the polls are showing them essentially at a tie, in the same way that the polls underestimated Donald Trump in 2016, that they might be underestimating Kamala Harris now. Now, we're not going to know until after the election, and you know, hang on, because we're not going to know, in all probability, we're not going to know who wins right away. So, you know, fasten your seatbelts, because there could be a little turbulence after the election before it's actually announced who is who's the winner. But I've said for weeks now that I'm just not sure the polls are accurate. I think there are people who are voting for Trump who don't want to say it even to a pollster. And I think there are also people voting for Harris who don't want to say it. They don't want to say they're voting against Trump, even though it's to a pollster and it's just between them and the pollster. I still think they consider the pollster to be part of the media or part of the public, and I think people don't want to say it. So I'm not sure the polls are accurate. So we'll have to see what happens. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Gretna. Rick, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scott, you can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I would just like, if it's okay, bring out three things about the evil from within.
Okay.
And this is government military service.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you? And I've experienced all three of these firsthand and personal.
Okay.
The evil within. Number one was, and I'm an enlisted man. I never was an officer.
Okay.
But number one, in Kuwait, in duties between Iraq, a buddy of mine was returning a disc that he borrowed from a female. His toes were across the borderline at the bottom of the door. A senior officer in that unit saw that, and he was written up and lost rank for being in a female barracks. They don't call them barracks, they call them pods.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up losing rank, and he ended up committing suicide. The second one was, on multiple occasions, this same senior enlisted person in the Mideast, in that type of hot climate, was getting on people for not having a button, or if the shirt tail was halfway out the waist, he'd get on people and write them up. And then one person got reduced in rank, and he was ready to retire. And because he couldn't finish his tour, and he had to retire at a lesser grade, but he was put out the unit from being reducted in rank from having his shirt tail out, something that minor. Yes, you could say a rule's a rule. And the third one is the head a Christmas BX sing-along for a $500 BX card.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in this, and I sang a song, If I Could Dream by Elvis. And I introduced it and sang it, and I had the guitarist from the Catholic Church play the guitar, and it was just he and I. And then they had like eight people competing for this $500 BX card. And the next day in line, you know, I got my accolades and I do have it on film. But the next day in line, I didn't win. And somebody asked me, hey, my last name, I'm not going to say that. But hey, Rick, you was in that BX contest. How'd you do? And then I ended up saying I didn't win. A brother won with his hip hop rap music. And the audience majority was of the black nature. And because I said that brother word, I got reprimanded and lost rank at that one time. But I ended up getting it back. But I spoke silly on the moment. I sang a different cultural song. The audience applauded to him and he won. But I'm just saying, you could pull people behind, reprimand them, make them clean toilets or paint parking lines in a parking lot, but you do have evil people from within. But that's it.
And Rick, first of all, thank you for your service to our country. I'll thank you for that. If you're singing in front of a largely African American group, and somebody does hip-hop,
it was mixed.
Okay,
but the majority was.
Okay, so look, maybe they just like the hip-hop song more, and you know, you can't blame anybody for that. Maybe you didn't do the right song.
No, I accepted the loss.
Okay.
I just was when a senior leadership overheard me the next day in the lunch line saying,
Brother
won with his hip-hop rap music and loud bong stuff.
Yeah.
That's what got me.
Well, Rick, I'm not gonna comment on the specific rules of the military like that. It seems very strict, but the military has to be strict. But how does this relate how does this relate to Trump talking about the enemy from within?
Well, I'm just saying, even like that, inside the unit, inside the military, overseas one mission, you got people killing themselves. The guy had his toes across and he committed suicide.
Well, you know, we don't know. Look, that's very sad. We don't know if that's the only reason. We don't know if there were other things going on in his life. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people who have been in the military end up committing suicide. And it's tragic. But I don't know that we know the full story there. When Donald Trump talks about the enemy from within, he's talking about, and he's named specific names like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff. These are Democrats who disagree with Donald Trump. There is an inherent danger in referring to political opposition that is not committing any crime as the enemy within. There's a concern about talking about Democrats or maybe people in the media who don't agree with Donald Trump, referring to them as the enemy from within. That's not a true definition of the enemy from within. Domestic terrorists from the past, spies who were selling secrets to the Russians during the Cold War. There are people who are indeed the enemy from within. But man, that's a catchphrase, and it should be scary AF to everybody in America that somebody running for president would talk about his political opposition as the enemy from within. I wrote a blog about this. It's still posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Got a lot of reaction to this because it's really scary. And the people that Donald Trump is talking about do not qualify as the enemy from within. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. More of your calls and more of your text messages are coming up. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1984, Bruce Springsteen released Born in the USA. That was the single was released on this day in 84. The single, the album, both went to number one. This is quite often played by some people, not this show. This is quite often played on Memorial Day and the 4th of July. We don't do that because this is really kind of an anti-American song. It's criticism of how the country treated vets coming back from Vietnam. So it is not a positive rah-rah America. It's kind of sarcastic, like, you know, born in the USA. Yeah, well, guess what? This is who you are. And again, I hope no conservatives have changed their opinion of Bruce Springsteen because he's endorsing Kamala Harris. I would love to talk to anybody who has changed their opinion of Bruce Springsteen because he endorsed Kamala Harris. Or can you put that aside and just appreciate the music and the artist? I'm Scoot on the Air, and we're coming back on WWL. Tomorrow is Halloween night. Hopefully the weather stays nice. I mean, if it rains, hopefully it's during the day. And I remember as a kid how much fun it was to come home from school and start to get your costume ready and you went out trick-or-treating. It's so much different today. And we'll talk more about that on the show tomorrow. And as I mentioned, I want to go into detail explaining about how all of the fear about candy and stuff and apples and all that stuff, all of that fear, that whole frenzy, is based on a myth. It never happened. And I can't wait to explain that to you tomorrow. I will also write a blog about it, so you have it in writing as well. But it's fascinating to see how this country fell for a total myth. And it's really because of the media. All right, if you're on hold, we'll get to your calls here in just a moment. The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Here's a text that says, Hillary spoke about her opposition in the same manner Trump does. No, she didn't. Here's what Joe Biden said about the Republicans and Trump supporters being garbage. He was talking about the Trump rally. He said, and just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Ricans that I know the Puerto Ricans that I kind of jumbled up here, you know, because sometimes Joe Biden isn't, you know, totally coherent. He said, I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. These are his words. They're good, decent, honorable people. He said the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. And he has demonized Latinos. It's unconscionable and it's un-American. All right. So what? I mean, it's bad. He shouldn't have said it. I mean, there was a talk on a conversation on CNN last night about whether or not Joe Biden should be on the campaign trail with Kamala Harris. No, he shouldn't be. I think he's only going to hurt her. And I love that, you know, Republicans said he's too old to be president. He shouldn't be. You know, this is when it was Trump and Biden just condemned him because he's too old to run the country. And then they criticize him for getting out of the race. I mean, this is the part that's actually funny to me. But, you know, you can't take this stuff too seriously. Joe Biden has walked back on it, but Joe Biden shouldn't have said that. But that's where we are in this whole campaign. Let's get to more of your calls. Let's go to Jeff in Mid-City. Jeff, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello, yeah. Jeff.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, by the way.
Okay, good, good, good. Glad to have you back. I remember years ago when it was vote for Duke or the crook?
Yep, I remember.
Well, the way I feel about it, vote for all the Republicans you want. I have voted for Republicans. But if you're voting for the Nazi supporter and the one who endorses dictators, you are garbage.
You think Trump's
That's
a Nazi? You think Trump sympathizes with...
Yes.
Yeah. You think he's fascist?
He admires Putin. Absolutely. He wants it all about him and all of...
Yeah. I think people who are quick to denounce the possibility that Trump thinks in terms of fascist ideology don't really understand the definition of fascism. Because there are aspects of what he says that reflect fascism.
Absolutely. And he's openly said he admires people like Hitler and his generals.
Yeah.
We put all our resources into defeating these people. And now there are people in this country that want to elect a man who admires them? Garbage. Deplorables.
All right, Jeff. Glad you had a chance to express your opinion. That's what we do here. The Okunar Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. I don't think Donald Trump is a Nazi, but there are aspects of what he talks about. There are aspects of Project 2025. And I think that's going to be implemented if Trump wins. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll be here to say, hey, guess what? I was wrong. Man, there's no signs of Project 2025. But if Trump is elected and we start to see aspects of Project 2025 coming in, you don't have to call and say, hey, I'm sorry, Scoot, you were right, I was wrong. You don't have to call in or send a text, but we'll know that Project 2025 is the work of people who want to change our country in what I think is a very negative way. So we'll see what happens. You know, Trump does seem to have this affinity for dictators. And January 6th was sort of an indication that he wanted to be one, not accepting the results of a fair election. So those are the things that concern me. But again, this is America. You are free to vote for whoever you want to vote for. Don's on the North Shore. Don, welcome to WWL.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Two quick things, one on Joe Rogan and one on the comedian.
Okay.
First on Joe Rogan, I heard the 3 hour that she refused to do the 3 hours, only wanted to do the 1 hour. I heard that on News Nation. So if that gives you some solace.
Yeah, by the way, you know, I didn't say
that's
it.
Where I went.
Don, you're right. I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, I failed to mention this. I did check on that during the break, and so apparently, Harris said only an hour, and she was wrong. She should have done the 3 hours. So Joe Rogan gave her a chance to do an hour. I mean, gave her a chance to be on, but she'd have to be on for 2 or 3 hours and let him do his show. So Kamala Harris was not rejected by Joe Rogan. Kamala Harris refused to agree to the conditions, and I agree with Joe Rogan in that case. You either follow the rules of the show or you're not on.
Absolutely, I agree, and thank you for that correction. But on the comedian side, comedians are, a large portion of them are offensive. It doesn't bother me that he said what he said and that it was offensive, racist, or whatever. It bothers me that he was on the stage and he wasn't funny.
He wasn't.
He wasn't funny.
I mean, the delivery.
That's the problem.
The delivery wasn't even funny.
He's not funny.
No, it was. I mean, this guy did nothing to help his career.
Think about it, Scoot. Think about all of the offensive comedians that you can think of. I can think of Carlos Mencia. I'm not going to say how they're offensive, but Carlos Mencia, Cat Williams, Mickey Glazer, Tim Allen, to some people. Well, I mean, Richard Pryor.
Don,
they're all offensive, but they're funny.
You could take mainstream comedians, and almost half of what they say is offensive to somebody. I mean, that's comedy. Comedy is based on, I mean, what's funny about it is that, well, because it's stereotypes. And even mainstream comedians can be offensive. So, you know, I agree with you. That guy's biggest crime was just that he's not funny.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Don.
Everybody, have a wonderful Halloween.
Thanks, Don. I can't figure out how that comedian got the title of comedian. I mean, let's reserve that for people who are actually funny. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with a lot more. We got a lot going on this afternoon. I mean, it's the eve of Halloween, and then, of course, tomorrow is Halloween, and the election is less than a week away. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1970, the Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was sentenced to 6 months in jail and fined $500 for exposing himself during a concert in Miami. The case was still on appeal when he died in July of 1971. In later years, band manager Vince Traynor would insist that the incident never happened. Guy should have been a politician because apparently it did, and there's evidence that Jim Morrison took it out on stage. He took it out. It? Yeah, he took it out on stage. You know, no need for that. Nobody needs to see that. Well, I guess some people like it. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Happy birthday today to Gavin Rossdale, lead singer of Bush. He's that really good-looking guy who was the lead singer of the band Bush. This is my favorite Bush song. Gavin Rossdale, 59 years old today. You know, this was a very integral part of that grunge alternative music sound. Gavin Rossdale was married to Gwen Stefani, and she caught him cheating with the nanny. And apparently the nanny was like really hot, young and hot. You know, don't let your husbands be involved in deciding who the nanny is, okay? You know, there are a lot of ugly nannies out there that you can hire that might not be so tempting. We've got a lot more still to come, and I'm really proud of Louisiana for having a record turnout with early voting, so that's really a good thing. And just a little bit about the Saints. All right, I'm Scoot. We've got a lot more still to come, so if you're on hold, hang on. We'll be right back. It is the eve of Halloween. This is your nightmare before Halloween. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad to be back. Thank Ian for doing the show, Ian and Coleman for doing the show while I was gone. I made a quick trip to Portland. You know, and it takes two flights to get there and two flights to get home. That's going to change, though, because Alaska Airlines is going to have nonstops between New Orleans and Portland in 2025. So anyway, it's a full day getting there and a full day getting back. It was a quick trip. My granddaughter's birthday is on Halloween Day, but the party was Sunday. So I left after the show on a later flight and got there late Friday night and came back not right after the party, but a day or so after the party. And again, a quick trip, but I'm glad that I was there. And it was just, you know, so great to see them and be with them. And, you know, if you have kids or grandkids, you understand how I feel. I posted a picture of me. I don't often dress up, but I did dress up. And I posted a picture of me and my grandson and granddaughter at the party at this big balloon background that they had at the party. That's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And I want to write a blog. I've got, you know, tonight is the Singing Trump. Tonight's the Singing Trump at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. And it's a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And I guess the tickets still on sale. You know, there's adult beverages and food, snacks when you arrive. And it's going to be funny. I mean, I've seen this guy. I can't wait to see the whole show. But I've seen video of him. He looks like Trump, sounds like Trump. And then he, like, sings and dances. Not that really Trump does that, but that's what's funny about it. Trump would never do this, but the guy does it. And really, this is about just making America laugh again. It's not about making fun of Trump. It's just having fun with just the stereotype of Donald Trump. And even if you're voting for Trump, even if you're a MAGA supporter, you know, it's still about just having fun and exercising our sense of humor. So, you know, a lot of people are going to be there tonight, and I'm looking forward to that. So I don't know if I'm going to have a chance to write it tonight, but maybe tomorrow. But, you know, I'm really tired of this country being trashed. I'm tired of this country during this campaign cycle of this idea that America's like a garbage can, that we're bad, that everything about us is bad and negative. And you're hearing a lot about that as a campaign strategy. And damn it, America's not bad. We're still a great country. We've got a lot of problems. We've got things that we have to deal with. But we have always had problems from the inception of this country. Nothing is new with that. So, you know, let's not just focus on how bad America is. I mean, if anybody from the outside said some of the things about America that Americans are saying about America, man, people want to kill them. So, you know, I don't appreciate that. As an American, I don't appreciate it. You have the freedom to trash this country if you want. But this is still a very great country. And we've been talking this afternoon about that Trump rally and the comment about this floating island of garbage is Puerto Rico. And there are a lot of Puerto Rican voters out there. And sometimes it seems like Donald Trump doesn't even really want to win, that he's allowing things to happen and he's saying things that make it seem like he doesn't even want to win. He's not even trying to reach beyond his base. And he needs to do that to actually win. And I think there's a possibility that Donald Trump, I know somebody called earlier, and I think this is a legitimate point. He wants to win because he wants to stay out of jail, but I don't know. I don't see Donald Trump going to jail, even if he loses. I don't think that's going to happen. But Donald Trump will make more money if he loses than if he wins, because it doesn't seem like he's spending much money on campaign ads. It's a tight race, and Kamala Harris is spending a lot more than he is. And is he trying to save the money? Does he want to keep it for himself? Can he do that? And if he loses, he will contest the election. And people, these gullible people, will send him millions of dollars. People will be overjoyed to send him money. Even people who can't afford it, they'll send him money. So Donald Trump makes more money if he loses than if he wins. And he'll be free to, you know, ask for money, and he'll get it. So there's a part of me that wonders if he really wants to win. And he loves confrontation. And there'll be great confrontation if he loses, and he loves that spotlight. I couldn't believe the other day I saw Rudy Giuliani on stage with him. If Donald Trump treated me the way he treated Rudy Giuliani, I wouldn't be anywhere near that guy. And Rudy Giuliani has lost so much because he represented Trump with the fake election fraud trial cases. There were cases, they weren't trials, but the lawsuits to overturn the election, the lawsuits to declare the election, whatever. I mean, it was a fake election. It was a false election, that the results weren't true and that Trump really won. Look at all that people like Rudy Giuliani lost following Trump's lead. Trump led them right into that. And then Rudy Giuliani's on stage with him? That's crazy. All right, so the campaign continues less than 1 week from today. Kamala Harris packed a crowd of about 75,000 supporters onto the Eclipse in downtown Washington, D.C. last night.
Harris says Donald Trump has spent a decade trying to divide Americans and keep them afraid of each other.
That is who he is.
Standing on the Eclipse near the White House, where Trump fomented the Capitol riot nearly 4 years ago.
I am here tonight to say that is not who we are.
Before a massive crowd spilling under the Washington Monument, Harris argued Trump's only in it for himself, while she's ready to work for all Americans from both parties as a new generation of leader.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to make your life better.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The problem is, I don't think Kamala Harris has done enough to tell us what she's going to do and how she's going to do it. I mean, Donald Trump isn't saying that either, but people don't care about that. But I mean, Kamala Harris, I think, has just been too vague with things. At about the same time that the Kamala Harris rally was taking place, right where the rally took place before the January 6th riot, President Biden said something about Trump supporters that caused a big controversy.
Did President Biden call Trump supporters garbage? The White House is trying to recover from an unforced error after the president's garbled remark on a campaign call Tuesday with Voto Latino Foundation CEO Maria Teresa Kumar. Biden said Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about the Latino community, and he called out comedian Tony Hinchcliffe for saying Puerto Rico is a floating island of garbage at Trump's rally at Madison Square Garden. According to the White House transcript, Biden says the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. He then pauses and says his demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. Republicans like Senator Marco Rubio quickly seized on the remark.
Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage.
He spoke at Trump's Tuesday rally in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
He's talking about everyday Americans who love their country and want to dream big again and support you, Mr. President.
Biden later posted on X that he was referring to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico as garbage, and that's all he meant to say. Trump leaned in on his New York rally.
An absolute love fest.
But he distanced himself from Hinchcliffe, telling ABC News, someone put him up there, I don't know who he is, and telling Sean Hannity on Fox News he knows nothing about the comedian, concluding that probably he shouldn't have been there. I'm Jennifer King.
You know, almost everybody that Trump says he knows nothing about, it turns out he knows something about them. So don't believe that. I mean, vote for him if you want to, but just don't believe that. Because Donald Trump is not going to allow somebody on stage, and the people closest to him will not allow somebody on stage unless they know what they're going to do. All right, meanwhile, both campaigns are continuing their grueling schedules.
Today, the presidential candidates are again barnstorming through crucial swing states. Harris will campaign in Raleigh, North Carolina, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Madison, Wisconsin, while Trump takes the stage in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, before a rally in Green Bay with former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. Senator J.D. Vance holds a town hall in Bedford, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz speaks at what's billed as a community concert at the Orange Peel in Asheville, with Raleigh-based band American Aquarium, with the proceeds to be donated to hurricane flood relief. At a rally in Allentown, Pennsylvania Tuesday night, Donald Trump railed against Vice President Kamala Harris, saying the country can't afford another 4 years with a Democrat at the helm.
Kamala has embarrassed us. She doesn't have what it takes.
Harris pledged to put country over party and self in a speech with the White House backdrop.
I pledge to seek common ground and common sense solutions to make your life better.
I'm Jennifer King.
Donald Trump's Truth Social network, which was tanking, now has a surge. Donald Trump's Truth Social is now worth more than Elon Musk's X, which used to be Twitter.
Trump Media and Technology Group is now valued at over $10 billion after its shares more than quadrupled since late September. Fidelity Investment Group estimates the value of X's holdings at around $9.4 billion. The stock of Trump Media, or TMTG, tends to move more with Trump's re-election odds than its own profit prospects, and investors see his chances of retaking the presidency as improving. By Tuesday's close, the stock was almost 9% higher at $51.51. That was on top of a 21.6% gain on Monday. Late last month, the stock was only worth about $12. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Elon Musk took Twitter, now called X, which is cool. It's a cool name. And ruined it. I mean, it's still worth a lot, but I mean, he's like single-handedly destroying it with his with his policies. The state of Virginia is proceeding with a very late-game purge of its voter rolls after the Supreme Court's conservative justices gave the go-ahead.
The Supreme Court is allowing Virginia to continue its purge of voter registrations. The state says the purge is aimed at stopping people who aren't U.S. citizens from voting. The justices granted an emergency appeal from Virginia's Republican administration. The court gave no rationale for its action, but that's typical in emergency appeals. The court acted on Virginia's appeal after a federal judge found that the state illegally purged more than 1,600 voter registrations in the past 2 months. A federal appeals court had previously allowed the judge's order to remain in effect. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Do you want to explain the mentality of teenagers who show up to harass people at a voting poll? These are political thugs. An 18-year-old with an 18-inch machete showed up to intimidate people at a Florida polling booth. In particular, two women were kind of harassed, verbally threatened, 154, 171 years old. They were holding signs in support of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And so these thug-minded teenagers were trying to harass them. Don't people have a right to vote? I mean, did I miss something? Or do we have a right to vote for whoever we want to vote for? If that has changed and I missed it, I mean, I'm busy. I got a lot going on. But if I miss that, do you want to call the show or send me a text and let me know when that changed? Don't we have a right to vote for whoever we want to vote for? Or has that changed? And also, there's a new ad warning Republicans that if the Republicans win, warning everybody, if Republicans win, there's going to be a ban on pornography nationwide. Should the government outlaw pornography? I'm Scoot, back with more of your calls and comments next on WWL. It is the eve of Halloween, tomorrow Halloween. We'll have a lot to talk about on the show tomorrow. We'll talk about some politics, which is really pretty scary anyway. And we'll also talk a lot about Halloween. Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, much love. The bartenders that work at the Dome are suffering. At Section 277, we still have a blast, but we miss our fans and cash tips. Well, all right. Are you not tipping the bartenders at the bar at Section 277? Are you not tipping them? Come on, tip those people. They deserve your tips. Thanks for the text. I hope things turn out a little differently for the next Saints home game.
I think that goes back to what you were saying about if the Saints want fans to come to the Dome, they have to play better. So I think they were saying that since people aren't going to the games anymore, they probably not participating as much.
I mean, the last game I went to, the last home game, they had a lot of people there. But fan discontent has reached a dangerous point for the Saints. Now, look, there's still excitement, and if you want to go to a Saints game, we've got a chance for you to win two tickets to the Saints-Falcons game. No matter what kind of season the Saints have, the game against the Falcons is always important. It's Sunday, November the 10th at Caesars Superdome. Now, you can win two premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate party passes from Bullseye Event Group. It's an open bar with premium liquor. And they've got a lot of premium liquor, not just like one or two bottles of premium. No, the premium liquor you like, chances are they're going to have it. You can drink all you want. Well, be responsible. And it's an all-you-can-eat buffet with celebrity chef Aaron May. I was there before the last home game. It's awesome. It's overlooking Champion Square. It's really great. You can drink and eat and then go to the Dome. You'll save a lot of money by not spending any money in the Dome. And just walk over. It's a great party overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Just go to our website, wwl.com/contests with an S, and enter for your chance to win the tickets to see the Falcons and also to see the Saints hopefully beat the Falcons, and then for the VIP tailgate party from Bullseye Event Group. That is from Dudley DeBosier, the official injury lawyers of the Saints, and Saints Radio, WWL. All right, back to your calls. Let's go to Mid-City. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoop?
Good.
First off, out the gate. Yesterday, I voted yesterday, and it was a mixed bag. I voted for a Democrat, and I voted for a Republican.
I think it's good when people vote for who they think is the best candidate and don't vote just strictly party lines.
Yeah, you know. One more thing before I finish. I think the word Democrat should be banned from politics simply because that was the party that brought in the Ku Klux Klan. You know, just like the Washington Redskins, just like the Redskins was banned, their name was banned. I think you could say the same thing for that word Democrat.
Well, but, it's not a derogatory term, and the party has changed. So I disagree, but I understand your point.
Okay. All right. You had made a statement about being fair and balanced, and the word I had used was incomprehensible. And with your statement, because it's like scoop. Fair and balanced. Okay. Now we understand. At least I understand. This is a liberal talk show, right?
I don't think this is a liberal. That's your opinion. I don't think it's a liberal talk show.
I guarantee you, 75 more than 50% of the people think this is a liberal talk show because you're a liberal. You're not a liberal host.
No,
You're not a liberal. No. You're not a liberal.
I'm a radical moderate. Mm-hmm. I'm a registered independent.
Well, I'm an independent too.
Okay. I have a lot. People don't hear the things that I say that align me with conservative ideology, and I can't help that because I say those things. But I can't help it if they don't hear it.
The conservative stations. The statement was about the conservative stations because the conservative that. They're not fair and balanced. They say they're fair and balanced, but they're not fair and balanced. That's according to what the way you interpret.
That's right.
And then you don't feel that you obligated to be fair and balanced.
No.
And that's why I say that was hard for me to understand.
Well, I was making the point, Mike, that people, there are a lot of people, not everybody, but there are people who challenge me and think that I should be fair and balanced, but they don't promote the idea that conservative stations and conservative shows should be fair and balanced. That's hypocritical. This is all about freedom of speech.
I view this show as a liberal show with a liberal host.
Okay.
Okay.
That's your judgment.
A conservative station, they're a conservative station. They invite debate. Okay. They invite. So I think that's being fair. That's not only being fair, I think that's being fair and balanced. Okay.
I don't invite debate. There's no debate. There's no people who call up like you. How did you get on the show then? If you disagree with me, how did you get on the show if I don't invite debate?
Well, no, but Scoot, the premise was that you don't feel like you have to be fair and balanced.
I don't. Okay? Nobody in talk radio has to be fair and balanced.
Well, I have a hard time.
Do you think Sean Hannity is fair and balanced?
He's a conservative. Yeah, I think he's balanced. I mean, he invites debate.
If I don't invite debate, how did you get on this show? Why did we let you through?
I'm only going by what you said.
Why did we let you through?
I'm only going by what you said. Scoot, you said that you don't have to be fair and
balanced. No, I don't have to be. I try to be as balanced as I can, but I don't. There's no law that requires me to be fair and balanced any more than there's a law that requires Sean Hannity to be fair and balanced. And the people that handle Hannity's show, if there's a debate on that show from somebody who disagrees with Sean Hannity, there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot. They basically promote Donald Trump. That's it. They're not fair and balanced. They don't give equal time to the other candidate. The wannabe conservative shows around the country, they are promoting Donald Trump, period.
But they are for debate. Liberals are free to call those stations. Yeah.
Conservatives are free to call this station. I don't understand your point.
Well, you came across when you said the way that you said it, Scoot, to where about, well, I don't have to be fair and balanced, and that's the part that I struggle with.
Well, I feel
that you have an obligation to be fair and balanced.
I don't have an obligation to be fair and balanced. This is America, Mike. This is America.
Well, you should debate. You should be open for debate, okay? And we handle it out.
I gotta go. You're repeating yourself, so I gotta go. I gotta get to a break anyway. But there's debate on this show every day. So there's debate here. But my opinions don't have to be fair and balanced. We take call. We never filter callers because of their opinions. And a lot of conservative people call this show, Mike. I don't really understand what you're talking about. Because there's a lot of debate on this show. But in the same way that conservative radio does not have to be fair and balanced, Rush Limbaugh was not fair and balanced. Fox News is not fair and balanced. Newsmax is not fair and balanced. All of the wannabe conservative, lower tier conservative shows around this country are not fair and balanced. And the Sean Hannitys are not fair and balanced. There's no obligation on this show to be fair and balanced. We can say whatever we want to say. I mean, obviously, within reason, but in terms of expressing opinions, we can say whatever we want to say. And I just think it's so hypocritical for people to embrace what conservative radio does, strict right-wing conservative radio. And that dominates the country. They embrace what they do, which is being very one-sided. But they don't embrace somebody who doesn't do that. Now, I'm not doing anything differently than Sean Hannity does or any of the conservative talk shows. My opinions are different, but in theory, what I do is exactly the same. This is talk radio. This is not a branch of government. This is talk radio. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar from Melbourne, Australia, on this day in 1982. 82 was a time when the music of the 80s was really starting to come into focus. This was the number one song in the country, Who Can It Be Now? And Men at Work would follow up with three more top 10 hits. Down Under went to number one. Overkill went to number three. And It's a Mistake went to number six. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, during this election, I'm imagining what things should be like, and they're not like I imagine. I hope what I imagine becomes reality. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1971, John Lennon had the number one song in America and the number one song in the UK. Same time, it was his song, Imagine. Here's a text that says, My 90-year-old mother-in-law was going to vote in Metairie, and she was told by a woman standing outside the door, whatever you do, don't you dare vote for Trump. Well, was she too close to do that? I mean, people have a right to try to sway people, but if she's too close to the polling place and she's saying that, then somebody needs to stop that. Here's a text that says, this clown with the machete, someone should have dropped him the minute he started waving the machete. Here's a text that says, oh, this is about this mentality of these people that were intimidating Harris voters. One guy with a machete. That changed with Trump's first rallies when he encouraged supporters to attack anyone who spoke out. Well, yeah, that was a shame. I remember that. Let's go to Tammy in St. Rose. Tammy, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. It's been a long time. Have you missed me?
I missed you, Tammy.
Okay, good. So I've been a victim of the cancel culture.
Really?
I know, happened? Me, a middle-aged buxom blonde.
Wow.
Out in St. Charles Parish, yeah. So I went to vote early in person, and I took a little snapshot of the sign that says reserved for early voters, and so went and voted, and I went on Facebook, and I posted this. And I said, regardless of the outcome, insurgency is not the answer. The United States of America is a young nation. Resort to that already in this relative to history heyday is like a toddler throwing a tantrum. Vote, please, my friends. I did, and I know it is valid.
And that got you in Facebook jail?
Yes, I'm in jail. I can't post.
I'm shocked. I
only wish I had been there with the machete boys.
That doesn't sound very threatening in any way.
I think there's an AI algorithm that's just doing its thing, but yeah. I think it's sad that there's no human being that looked at that.
Yeah, maybe you used a few of the wrong words, but it doesn't sound like when it's all put together, it doesn't sound like that it was anything wrong except you were expressing your opinion.
And I believe, honestly, Kamala should be focusing more on January 6th. Yeah. I think that this was a tragedy that was instigated. And I believe that there should be more emphasis put on that.
Well, there's a fear of what may happen when Donald Trump, there's a possibility that Donald Trump could become unhinged if he wins, because there's no way he can face the voters again, because this will be his second time in office, and he won't be able to vote face the voters again. I'm still haunted by his statement, "If you vote for me, you'll never have to vote again." When I think about that in January 6th, it scares me.
I believe that Kamala is making a mistake. I don't want to spread panic. That's not me. I believe we're a nation of really level-headed people when it comes down to most of us. But I also believe that there are things that occurred that need, I think, more light should be shed on them during this election.
And I do think, as I've said many times, we're going to all survive this. Tammy, I've got to get to a break. It's good to have you back, so thanks for calling. We're going to survive this. No matter what happens, no matter who wins, we're going to survive this. On this day in 1968, this was the number one song in the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Marvin Gaye, "I Heard It Through the Grapevine." But it was also done by The Miracles in 1966, Gladys Knight in 1967, and didn't Creedence Clearwater Revival do this as well? I think so. Yeah, a lot of people did this song, but Marvin Gaye's version was number one on this day in 68. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Wednesday afternoon, so we're halfway to the weekend, and, a big break tomorrow, because, people kind of take some time off mentally, at least, to enjoy Halloween. But yeah, we're halfway to the weekend. A sports talk with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller coming up next. They'll give you an update on the practicing of Derek Carr. Looks like Derek Carr may be back in the lineup. Don't forget, tonight, the Singing Trump is at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. It's a fundraiser for Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. I think you could still get tickets. Go to the website, BillyNungesser.com. BillyNungesser.com and get tickets. I mean, it should be a fun night. We're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow, but I want to focus on Halloween. We'll talk about some politics, but let's focus on Halloween and all of that frenzy about poison and candy and all that stuff. That was all based on a myth. So we'll set the record straight on that. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, studio producer, Coleman, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. And I thank you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.